Departing from Philippians, we haven't finished Philippians. I'll be getting back to it. Got maybe two messages left there to complete the book. But when I was preparing for this, preparing for today, just with the whole thrust of the tent meeting, and all that went on there about prayer, Lord just led me to talk a little bit about prayer. So that's, we depart from Philippians for a couple of weeks, and then we'll finish it. But I just labeled it basically 10 principles of prayer. And, it's kind of like the song we just sang, the power belongs to the Lord. It's battle belongs to the Lord, and glory, honor, and power. It's His power, folks. Whatever it is going on in your life, and you have hopefully an intimate relationship with Him, and it's Him working in your life. That's what changes you. That's what empowers you to do service for Him and to actually just get along in this world, really. I really I really do not understand how people without the Lord make it. I mean, and I know they do, and I know I did for 32 years, before I accepted Christ as my Savior. But having accepted Christ, I look back on those days, I don't know how I did it. I mean, and it wasn't, it's just, I don't know. It's, once you get on this side of the perspective, it does clarify a lot of things for you. But part, though, of being really in fellowship with God has got to be your prayer life. And I've got 10 things here, 10 principles of prayer, which is just straight out of the scripture. And you're not going to have anything here to copy, so you're going to have to stay with it if you're a note taker. And they all start with P, okay? So that'll help you out. 10 things that start with P. And inasmuch as we as Christians desire greater intimacy with God, these 10 principles are really about, and this is not a formula. Let me just, it's not like do this, I mean, wow, you're intimate with God, okay? It's not a formula, but my purpose in this today, the purpose that God really laid on my heart was, most of the time, or if not all the time, you can say, how many people are completely, totally satisfied with their prayer life? Raise your hand, and don't raise your hand. But nobody raises their hand, because we all feel, it's been my experience. Now, if you're there and you've got it, praise the Lord, I wish you would teach us. But honestly, almost everybody I've talked to, they're not satisfied. They feel like there's more to it, And so what this is today, these 10 things, it's not that you need all 10 things. And what my heart is on this is that there may be two of these things that really get your attention and you say, I never thought of that. And I'm going to implement that into my prayer life. Or some of these things, it's don't do it. Okay, you don't do some things and you need to do others. But so I'm hoping, it's my prayer that as we go through this, if God, just gets your attention on one of these and you begin to address it with Him, that will make you closer with Him. And that should always be our goal, is to be closer to God, more in fellowship with Him, more in touch with Him, more lined up with Him and His ways. And so hopefully this will be helpful. And, as most of you are, I am tired. So just bear with me. I'm already not speaking very well, so we'll see how it goes. But I don't think this is going to be long. It's just going to be kind of... Of course, I've said that before, and it didn't happen that way. But I really don't think so. I just want to make this kind of like bullet points and just maybe expound on it a little bit, and then we'll just see how God works in us as we go through this. So who better to hear principles of prayer from than Jesus Christ himself? And so the Lord led me to Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. And so if you have your Bible, you can find that. I will read it. In fact, I'll just read it right now, 5 through 13. Whenever you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, because they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. I assure you, they've got their reward. But when you pray, go into your private room or your closet, shut your door, and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Don't be like them, because your Father knows the things you need before you ask him. Therefore, you should pray like this: Our Father in heaven, your name be honored as holy. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we know that as the Lord's Prayer, but it's really the model prayer. It's a model that Jesus used to teach his disciples principles. Because they came to him, they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And you know, I think a lot of times that's where we're at too. We pray, but we're not satisfied, and we feel like there's more to it. And so he gave us a whole bunch of principles, 10 of them that I found, and I'm giving them to you today. This is just what I see when I look through this passage. And so in verse 5, don't pray in pride. So there's your first P. Don't pray in pride. Whenever you pray, don't be like the hypocrites. You know, if you're prideful, you're a hypocrite. You know, because you're trying to... A hypocrite is someone that, you know, doesn't do what he says he is, or, you know, it's the opposite. He's the opposite of what he's saying. And it says they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by people. So it's a prideful thing. Oh, look at me. I'm so spiritual. You know, I've got it all together. I'm communing with the eternal God, and I don't care if you see me or not. I'm just, you know, going to be me, and, you know, and all these things. And all they're doing it for is so people look at them and go, wow, look at how spiritual that guy is. And this is what the Pharisees did. And they, you know, and there's another place in the Bible, I think it's Deuteronomy, where they talks about binding the Word of God on your head. And they call those phylacteries. And all it was some kind of a container, a little box, and they would literally write scripture on it and stick it in this little box and strap it on their head, and they'd walk around like, yeah, see, I got scripture on my head. And then to outdo one another, they get bigger boxes and bigger, you know, so you got this big old box on your head, you know, strapped to your forehead, walking around, and everybody's going, woo. And that's why Jesus said, I assure you, they got their reward. Because what were they really looking for? Approval from people. They were looking to impress people, and there was people that were impressed by it, and that's their reward. I don't know about you, but I don't want the reward from people. I want the reward from God. Okay, that's where we need to be. And so he says, don't pray like that. Now here's the thing, you don't have to stand on a street corner and wear this big box on your head and do that to have pride. And so we really need to examine ourselves. You know, Lord, reveal to me, am I prideful? Because pride, you know, when in I think it's Proverbs where he lists seven abominations, you know. Two of the seven abominations are prideful. It's a proud look and a proud something else. I don't remember, but it was two things. God hates pride. And you know why God hates pride? Because that's where sin came from. Satan, in his pride, he was Lucifer, the angel, and in his pride, he said, I'm going to be above God. I'm going to be God. And God hates pride because it was that pride that came down to earth, deceived Eve, Adam sinned, and now we're all cursed with a sin nature that includes pride. We can fall into pride so easily. I mean, we could sit there and go, wow, what a tent revival that was, and look what we did. I mean, it's that easy. And you could start off with a sincere purpose, a sincere heart, and, you know, our sin nature along with the world and Satan and all that can work on us. And the next thing you know, we don't even realize it. And we have pride in our life. And pride separates us from God. And so we need to be careful. So don't pray in pride. Don't pray like you're owed something. Just be real. Be humble in our prayers. Verse 6. Do pride... Blah, I can't talk. I cannot talk today. My wife's going, amen, amen. It's an answered prayer. Very good, Sue. Very good. I'm going to try and get through this. Maybe peas weren't so good for me today. I don't know. Do pray. Do pray. Don't pray in pride. Do pray in private. Do pray in private. But when you do pray, he says, go into your private room. Shut your door. Pray to your Father who is in secret. Listen, your prayers, does not God hear you wherever you are? You do not have to be in front of a group. You don't have to be, you know, you can be all by yourself. And I don't know about you, but I do better by myself. You know, I can concentrate better. You know, a lot of people require things in the background or something like that. My wife does not understand how I do this to this day, but like when I come here on Wednesdays and Thursdays and that's mainly when I do my studying is on Wednesdays and Thursdays. I love coming here because no one's here. And I'll be here for 8 hours, sometimes more, not a radio, not anything. It's just dead in here. And I love it because I can concentrate. And I'm that way with my prayer life too. It's better alone for me. And, you know, like my wife and many of you, you know, you got to have a little radio on in the background or something, just run. It's like white noise for you, but it just helps you. But that just kills me. I can't concentrate. It's got to be, you know, quiet. But in this, you know, if you're praying, who are you praying to? You're praying to God, right? So it's got to be just you and Him. Now, there's a time for group prayer, and I understand that. You know, and there's power in that. But you know what? Don't neglect your alone time with God. Do pray in private. And what's interesting in this verse is the more you pray in private, God will do more in public. Isn't that interesting? It says your Father who sees in secret will reward you. He'll reward you. Something's going to happen. You know, even though no one else knows what you're praying, He does. And many times, He rewards you before others. Not that you're looking for that, because that leads to pride. But the point is, sometimes He does. And then what do? Hopefully, when we have our opportunities, praise the Lord. You know what? I was praying about this, and God answered my prayer. And I'm telling you, there's a God, and He's real. And He listens to me, and He'll listen to you. And he wants relationship, and He's real. And that's a testimony. And you tell what He did. You know, I prayed, you know, because I had this situation going on, and God took care of that. You know, and I just want to give Him praise. So do pray in private. Verse 7. Pray practically. Practically. It says, when you pray, don't babble like the idolaters, since they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Now, the idolaters, in a lot of the pagan religions, especially in this time, they would just chant, you know, the same thing over and over and over and over. Like, you know, if I chant this 125 times, God's got to answer, right? I mean, he's got to hear, right? I mean, maybe he didn't hear it the first 100 times, you know? But, oh, you know, now listen, this is not to be confused with the persistent prayer. Every one of us have things in our life that we've been praying about. Well, most of us, I would say. We've had things in our life that we've maybe prayed about for many, many years. And we are consistent in our prayers. There's things I pray about that I've been praying for a long time. And God's just, you know, he's either saying wait or no. Okay? But that's a persistent prayer. That is not to be confused with this. This is just like, you know, just chanting something like, and you got to say it 150 times or whatever. That's what as Jesus put it, like the idolaters do. That's what they do because they imagine they'll be heard for their many words. Listen, God heard you the first time. He did. He heard you the first time. I love, was it Elijah that confronted the prophets of Baal? And you know, they're building he says, we're going to have a contest, you know, and who's ever got the real God, you know, the real God's going to consume this altar, going to put a sacrifice on here and let fire come from the sky. And he says, you guys go first. So you got these 400 prophets or whatever they were. And they're out there and they're whooping and hollering. And they're doing this for hour after hour after hour. And Elijah begins to make fun of them. You know, he says, oh, shout a little louder. Maybe he's hard of hearing today. You know, he says, well, maybe you need to shout a little louder. Maybe your God is asleep and you need to wake him up. You know, he's making it, but it's this kind of prayer is what they're talking about here. In what Jesus is talking about. You know, and then it was interesting because what happened? Okay, he let them go all day and then they started cutting themselves and, you know, doing all this stuff to bring the fire down. And then it came to Elijah's turn and he just simply goes and gets 12 rocks and he stacks them in a certain way to make an altar. And then he digs a trench around it. And then he commands all these guys to come with water. And I mean, they dumped like tons of water and it filled up the trench and everything. And then when he got it all done, because you know what he was doing? He's making sure no one's going to think that I tricked anybody. You know, if this is going to happen, it's really going to be God. And then what happens is what? He just says, Lord, it's a very simple prayer. You know, Lord, you know, honor this sacrifice, honor this offering, you know, show these guys who's the real God. And immediately, boom, fire came down from heaven and consumed everything. It even evaporated all the water. Everything was gone. He only prayed at one time. Those other guys prayed for like 10 hours or whatever it was, all day. Listen, God hears you the first time. Always know that. Even when it sounds like or it feels like it's not getting through, God, he's there. He knows. He knows what's on your heart. So pray practically, in a practical manner. Verse 8. Pray personally. Personally. And I don't mean that like, I mean it's like it's a personal thing. Okay, it's intimate is what I'm getting at here. He says, don't be like them. What's he talking about? Don't babble like the idolaters and all that. He says, don't be like them. Why? Because your Father knows the things you need before you even ask him. He's a personal God. Yes, he's the God of the universe and his hand is evident over the entire world and the galaxy. And you can look around and wow, he's holding it all together. But at the same time, he knows you as an individual. He knows the hairs on your head. He knows what's going on in your heart. He knows your pain. He knows your desires. He knows when you're happy. He knows when you're praising Him. He is a personal God. And so we need to pray in a personal way. We don't have to, because He says, don't be like them. Don't copy others. Pray like God knows you personally and intimately, because He does. It's a personal thing. And again, there's a place for groups and all that, obviously. But you know what? It starts with your personal life. It starts with your personal walk. Verse 9. Pray in an attitude of praise. Pray in an attitude of praise. So he's just said all these things. Don't be like the hypocrites. Don't be out there in making a big spectacle. And at the same time, go into your private closet and your Father will see. And don't babble like the idolaters. Don't be like them. He says, therefore, because of all these things, these abuses, if you will, he says, pray like this. And where does he start with? Praising God. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Okay? And with that, that's the King James. That's probably how we all learned this passage, was in the King James, and it's beautiful. But it's basically saying your name is holy. You are deserving of honor. It's praise. And so what does he start off with? I mean, this is Jesus giving us the model prayer, and it always starts off with praise to the one you're praying to. Lifting him up. He is our God. He is our Savior. He's the one that loved us and sent His Son. Okay? He is worthy of all praise, worthy of all honor. And we need to have that attitude. And sometimes I think we kind of go to God a little flippantly or a little casually sometimes. And we need to understand He's a holy, righteous, perfect God. And when we come before Him, we should have an attitude in our heart of praise for who He is and what He is doing and what He has done. We must not take for granted our ability to communicate with God. And I think a lot of times we do. I mean, we're people, we're human. We get into ruts, we get into habits. And prayer can become a habit that doesn't have meaning anymore because it's just a habit. And we're not, a lot of, just like the dinner time prayer, Mom or wife puts on the stuff here and, okay, let's pray it so we can get into that, And we kind of get into ruts, and that's part of our human condition that we need to guard against. We need to have an attitude of praise, because you know what? When we have food on our plate, there's a lot of people in a lot of places that don't have any food.
Amen.
And we ought to be praising Him for what we have, whether it's hamburger or steak, regardless of what it is, praise Him, because there's plenty of people that have nothing. And we need to have an attitude of praise. Jesus gave His life so we could connect with the Father. And let that sink in. Because we could not connect with Him before that. Jesus was the way to the Father. And so we cannot take for granted our ability to have a relationship with the Father. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 10. Pray according to God's purpose. Pray according to God's purpose. So right after Jesus says you should praise, He says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In other words, pray according to God's will. Your kingdom come. Do we understand it's not about our kingdoms here? It's about His kingdom, His will being done here, in us, among us, through us. And so many times, and you know, listen, I'm as guilty as anybody. You pray for things according to your desire. And we really should be seeking God's desire for us and praying for that. You know, it's kind of like, I heard an analogy or an illustration, I guess is really what it is, about like you can be praying for something and it's the wrong thing and so it's not happening, right? So God has, it's kind of like, it's an illustration with like a parent and a child. And the child wants a skateboard. And the child keeps begging the parent, you know, I want a skateboard, I need a skateboard, you know. It's kind of, in a sense, praying. I mean, that's what prayer is. You're talking with the authority, you know, in your life. And, you know, I need a skateboard, I need a skateboard. Now, the parent, the whole time, has a bicycle. And the bicycle's there. It's maybe it's in the trunk of the car, or it's in the like in our house when my boys were growing up, we had rafters in the garage, and I put boards up there, and we'd stick all kinds of stuff up there. And point is, you could have that red bicycle or that bicycle up in the rafters, and it's there. It's already purchased. It's already there. All you got to do is ask for it. But you keep asking for a skateboard. But at some point, if you seek the parent's will, maybe the parent's been giving you hints. Well, you know, skateboards are nice, but I think, you know, you really need a bicycle more. You know, a bicycle would be much more useful and blah, 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 blah. And then finally, one day, child comes, you know, I really want a bicycle. Well, you know what? Already got it. Let me just get it for you. I've had it just waiting for you to ask. You know, prayer is a lot like that. God has something for you. He has something in your life, something He wants to do, some way He wants to use you and some have impact. I don't know. But He's got something for you. And too many times, our prayers consist of trying to get God to line up with us and what we want and our desires. And instead, He's saying no, because He's what? He's the God that never moves, right? He always stays the same, right? So He's staying here and He's saying, no, you need to come over here. You need to line up with Me. And so a lot of times our prayers are empty. Why? Because we're asking for things that God doesn't want to do. It's not part of His purpose for you. It's not part of His plan. And yet we can make a lot of these things happen. I mean, you know, we have that ability to kind of make it happen. But it's been my experience when I do that, it doesn't turn out so good. It kind of backfires. And maybe it turns out okay. And I've had some things turn out okay. But do you understand God has better for you? You know, we sometimes settle for better. You know, the bad or the worse is not the enemy of the best. Better is the enemy of the best. Because we will settle for better. We'll say, oh, that's good enough. That's really good. And God's up there going, I got more for you than that. Jesus said, what? I came to give you abundant life. Not just a good life. Not just an above average life. He came to give you abundant life. And that abundance is found in serving God. In serving Him. And lining up with His purpose. Whatever that may be for you. And how do you find out His purpose for you? Well, you better be getting on your knees in prayer and finding out. And give Him a chance to talk to you. So many times our prayers is one-way conversation, which is not a conversation. It's just talk, 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 amen, and then I get up and start my day. Right? You know, I got this 5 minutes here for you, God, and I'm going to fill it up. And I got my list. And I get all done with that in Jesus' name, amen. And bam, I'm out the door and I gotta go and do, you know. And he's up there going, can I say something? Can I light, you know, give you some light in an area? But we get so busy with what our plan is, we don't stop and take time and let him direct us. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Pray according to his purpose. Verse 11, pray for God's provision, his provision. Give us this day our daily bread. I remember when I was preaching through the book of James a year ago or whenever it was, you have not because you ask not. You know, so many times we don't have simply because we do not ask. You know, pray for God's provision. And, you know, his provision is multifaceted. It can have to do with your finances, definitely. But it can also have to do with your health. It has to do with food. Has to do with health or sickness or lack of. There's a lot of things that he provides for. Could be transportation. Maybe you need a car. You know, I mean, I don't know, whatever it might be for you. But that's God's provision. And the Bible says you have not because you ask not. And when you ask for the wrong thing. That's what it says in James. We have to come to the understanding, I guess, that it is God who provides. Now, we may think we're providing, you know, especially as a man, you know, I went out and I worked and I provide for my family. But the only reason I was able to provide for my family was because God provided me with the ability and the health to do what I did. And I was one fall away from disaster, or one wrenched back away from life-changing situations. And God allowed me to work those years doing that particular occupation. And it was despite some of my foolishness and some of the stuff I did, he did protect me. But it is his, make it known, it is his provision. When we have these things and when we have these abilities that we have. And everybody's got different abilities. Pray for his provision. Verse 12, pray in purity. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. I suspect this would be a big obstacle. This would be an obstacle in a lot of people's lives because, you know what, we're human and we have a hard time with forgiveness. Especially when someone has done something to us. And they're not even sorry. They don't even care. And you're walking around holding something against somebody. You know, it's always on your mind. And you understand that's a sin. What does the Bible say? What did Jesus say? He says, look, you have been forgiven hell. Your sin condemned you to hell. And God forgave you, and you're not going to hell. So who are you not to forgive your brother or your sister? You should be on your way to hell, and you're not, by the grace of God. He forgave you because you asked. How can you not forgive when someone asks you? How can you not? And then you might say, well, but this person has never asked me. Did the Roman soldier ask Jesus to forgive him as he was pounding the nails in? No. And what did Jesus say? Father, forgive them. They don't know what he wanted them to be forgiven, even though they were pounding nails in his body. Now, who are we to not forgive somebody just because they didn't ask? When we don't, we are not pure. You got to come before God clean, folks. You got to come before God clean. Not perfect. He knows you're not perfect. But, you know, you can be clean. Are we forgiven? If you're a child of the King, you are. But let me ask you this. Are we as quick to forgive others as we are to seek it for ourselves? He says, forgive us our debts. It starts off with you, me. Forgive me for what I have done. Starts with us. Asking God, you know, and how does that come about? Well, it's pretty simple. Start with God. You know, I've treated somebody wrong. I said something to somebody, hurt them, you know, whatever it might be. God, I should have never talked to that person that way. Father, I don't know why I did. I was weak or I was stupid or, you know, whatever. But Lord, forgive me. Please forgive me. And then you got to go to that person. See, you get it right with God, but then you still gotta get it right with the person. And then you ask them, you know, I am so sorry I said what I said or I did what I did or, you know, whatever it was. Will you please forgive me? Now once, and if you're sincere, I mean, you really do feel bad. I mean, you really do, you know, your heart is pierced. And you ask them to forgive you, it is now no longer your problem. It doesn't matter what they say. They may say, I'll never forgive you. Well, that's not on you. That's on them. Now they are guilty of a sin of bitterness. And God will deal with that. Because what does the Bible say? Put all bitterness away from you. See, we are not responsible for their response. But we are responsible for what we do and how we handle it. And we need to pray in purity. And if you got something between you and someone else, that's going to hinder your prayers. And you may be wondering why I'm not getting through. And yet in your heart, you know, this one person, and most of us got that one person in our life, you know, the one you just can't get over, the one you just can't, every time you hear their name, it just, you know, does that to you, you know, that kind of thing. Most of us have somebody like that, that God has blessed us with. Now you got to look at it that way, folks, because he's trying to make us into the image of Jesus, right? And as long as everything's smooth, we don't change. It's when we hit the bumps that we change. So pray in purity. You know, make sure you're right with God. Make sure you're right with people the best you can. The best you can. And if you've made that honest attempt, God knows. And the wall will go down, and you will enter into a greater relationship. Verse 13, A, first part. Pray for God's protection. God's protection. And do not bring us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one, or deliver us from evil. Well, listen, the Bible is clear. The Lord does not tempt anyone. God is not tempting you to sin. But temptation is in the world. All of us have those areas where we're tempted. It's different for different people. But we all have, you know, mine are well documented. Snickers and peanut M&Ms. And Coca-Cola is a very strong temptation for me. And when you're overweight, those are bad things for you. Now, they're bad things for you whether you're overweight or not, but they're good, you know. That's why it's the temptation, right? But we need to understand, we need his protection from three things. You know, what are the three things that all Christians face, right? The world, the devil, and ourselves, our own flesh. Those, you know, why am I tempted with Snicker bars? It's because my flesh wants it. It's just that simple. My mind will say it's not good for you. My mind will say, you know, you're getting too heavy and it's causing issues in your life. But my flesh says, I don't care. I want the bar. And I want to wash it down with a Coke. Amen. 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 I got a believer with me. He knows. There's nothing quite as satisfying as a Coke right after a Snicker bar. I'm telling you. It's awesome. Coke and pizza also is pretty good too. Coke and pretty much anything is pretty good too, as far as I'm concerned. But all that to say though, that's just us working on us. Those desires that we have, in whatever direction they are. And then you got the world putting those billboards up with a picture of Coke on it, right? And then you got Satan going, go ahead, one more won't hurt you. I mean, it's a three-pronged attack. You know, it's Satan, it's the world, and it's our own selves. And we need help, folks. And that's why part of the prayer is, don't bring me into temptation. Don't deliver me. Deliver me. And we need to pray for that. Then the end. 13b, the last half of the verse. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Pray with a humble perspective. Pray with a humble perspective. Listen, look what this says. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. Do you understand? It's His kingdom. It's His power, and it's His glory. It's not my glory, not my kingdom, not my power. I got to be humble, although many times I go through life acting like it's me. Maybe even believing it's me a little bit. But we got to have a humble perspective. His kingdom, His power, His glory forever. Amen. And then amen. And you know what amen means? So be it. So be it. It's His kingdom, His power, His glory. Whatever He does with it in my life and in the lives of those around me, you know what? So be it. I'm trusting God. I have to humbly trust Him because you know what? I've tried to manipulate it myself. It does not work. It's got to be Him. If it isn't Him, it isn't going to happen. Pray with a humble perspective. Just realize when you're praying, you really do need Him to act. You really do need it. And then however He acts, because it is His kingdom, His power, and His glory, He can do what He wants. He's God. And so whatever the answer is after you're done praying and all that, so be it, Lord, so be it. I just submit myself to You humbly. You know what's best for me. You know what I need. You even know the valleys I need to go through so that I can be a better Christian, so that I can be a better witness, so I can be a better whatever that's in Your life that He's wanting to work. So be it, Lord. So be it. I accept it. I'm not going to fight You. I'm just going to accept what You're doing in my life because I know in the end, You have my highest, You want the highest for me. You want the best for me. And you either believe that or you don't. It's one or the other. You either do or you don't. Sometimes it seems that prayer can be really complicated. I mean, I just read all these things and you're sitting there going, whoa, remember what I said, Lord. Not all of it may pertain to you. I hope it doesn't all pertain to you, honestly. But you may have hit, you know, something may have struck you and you're like, wow, never thought of that. Thank You, Lord. Help me now to assess that and figure out how I am to respond to that. Because, see, everything you hear, whether it be from a preacher or the Word of God, just in your time, God demands a response. I mean, you're either going to go along with God or you're going to continue to go your way. But it can seem that it's really complicated. There can seem like, just like we saw, a lot of do's and don'ts. But we got to recognize there is no formula for effective prayer. Jesus gave us a model to hopefully point out to us areas that we may be deficient, you know, something we need to work on. It is our sin nature that makes prayer harder than it has to be. It is our own nature, our selfishness, our pride. Listen, God never intended prayer to be difficult. Sometimes it is. But usually it is because I got my back up. You know, I'm prideful about something. And, yeah, I'm going to pray for that guy because I know I'm supposed to, but I really kind of hope he just falls off the edge of the earth. It can be hard to ask someone to forgive you. It can be hard to forgive someone who asks for it. And it can be hard to forgive somebody that doesn't ask for it. And you might need to go to your knees and pray a lot. It could be a lot of work. But I'm here to tell you it's worth it. Because it frees you. It frees you. God never intended prayer to be difficult, but rather an intimate part of our relationship with Him. And that should be just as easy as talking to the ones you love, the ones that are around you that you love and it's so easy to talk to. Should you not be able to easily just talk to God the same way? He loves you more than the ones that are around you that love you. So while we can study and learn all these principles of prayer and even study the prayers in the Bible, you know, that's a good thing, man. Look in the, you know, especially in Paul's writings where he writes these prayers. It's really cool to read those things and say, wow, you know, wish I could pray like Paul. And there's some things there you can learn. But we would do well to simply talk to God with a loving, sincere, humble heart. Just talk to God because you know what? I love Him, He loves me. And I'm humble. I know who I am before Him. I know that I'm apart from Him, I can do nothing. Be humble. Be sincere. Really mean it. And He knows if you are. He knows your heart. So we got to be sincere. But when we do that, we got His ear. God Himself said through the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah wrote this a long time ago. I will look to Him. This is God speaking through Isaiah. God says, I will look to Him who is humble and of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. So we got to be humble and we got to be contrite. Basically meaning I know who I am and I know I'm a mess. I know I got flaws. I know, you know I got stuff. I'm a work in progress. I'm contrite. I don't think I'm better than anybody else. I understand my position. But the third thing, though, tremble at His word. Is God's word serious business to you? Is it serious? Is it, you know, something we got to think about? Because I don't know about you, but I have areas of the Bible, oh yeah, man, I'm right there. And then there's other areas, I don't want to do that. How much do I fear God? That I would actually violate His word knowingly, willfully, rather than tremble at His word and recognize, you know what, this word is here for my benefit and I ought to be lining myself up with it. He says, I will look to Him who is humble of a contrite spirit and trembles at my word. When I look to God, I want Him to look to me. You know, I don't want Him to go, oh, there's Mike again, praying in pride. You know, but when I look to Him, I want Him to go, okay, I'm listening. I see you have a sincere heart. I see you're humble. I'm listening. I want him to look to me. But that only happens through prayer. It only happens through just humbly going before the God, before the throne, and just being honest with him. Just getting real with him. Quite a passage. He wraps it up in 14 and 15. He kind of goes back because I think he knows where our problems are. Remember when he says, forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors, and then he wraps it up in 14 and 15. For if you forgive people the wrongdoing, your heavenly Father will forgive you as well. But if you don't forgive people, your Father will not forgive. Oh. So I find it interesting that he kind of expounded on that one verse. And you know why? Because we do have hang-ups in that area a lot. We do. Let's just be honest. We do. There may be someone here today, you know, I'm talking about prayer. There may be someone here today that you need to pray the one prayer that probably means the most of any other prayer. And that's the prayer that, you know what, I need a Savior. I have never asked God to forgive me. I've never trusted in Jesus. I've never done that. And let me tell you something. That's the one prayer God will always look to you. When a sinner humbles themselves and asks God to notice them and forgive them and save them, God will look to that person. God will look to that, and it doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter what you've done, what crimes you've committed, or whatever it is, there is nothing you can do that is beyond God's forgiveness. You just got to humble yourself and say, I'm a sinner, Lord, and I know there's no way out except you, and I'm just going to just humble myself and just submit myself to you, and you just do what you want. Save me, Lord. Just save me. For the rest of us, I mean, there may be someone like that here. I don't know. And if that is your place, you need to make it right. Because if you don't, you don't know you have tomorrow. No one does. We don't know that we have an hour. We do not know. I remember one day I was in my office and the ladies were here on a Thursday. And there was a lady there named Anna. It was Emma's friend. And they're doing their needle stuff. You know, we're joking. She seemed fine. And I went, you know, and they were getting ready to leave. And so I just go back into my office and the ladies all left and Anna's son had picked her up, always brought her here, picked her up. And they went up Johnson. And I'm sitting there at my desk. It wasn't 5 minutes, I don't think. And this ambulance went by. Lights. I saw, you know, we see them and we're like, okay, somebody's, you know, it must be an accident. Or, you know, we don't really think a whole lot about it. But then Emma calls me up and says, you know, I get this phone call and it's Emma. And I'm like, what is it? Well, Anna's... She's in a bad way. Her son had to call it, you know, whatever. I mean, she died. She didn't even make it to the hospital. And there was no clue. No clue. And I'll never forget that. I had just talked to her. And the next thing I know, she's gone. And don't think any of us is beyond that. Anything can happen. And I'm not saying that to put a scare in you. I cannot scare you into a relationship with God. I just want you to realize that you don't necessarily have the time you think you have. None of us knows. None of us. And that's the point I'm trying to make. If you know you need the Lord, you're going to have an opportunity in just a few minutes. For the rest of us, has one of these things struck a chord? One of the 10 things. Is one of those things holding you back from getting more intimate with the Lord? Is one of these things kind of consumed you, perhaps? Just deal with it. Anytime you're faced with things like this, it is your responsibility to go to God and get it right. Ask Him to show you. You know, maybe you're like, well, I don't know if any of these. Well, just, you know, in your prayer time, ask Him, say, Lord, show me. You know, He will, if you let Him, if you give Him some time to work in you. Ask Him something and then shut up and sit there and listen for the still small voice. And He'll bring something. I guarantee you, one of these points will go, wow, he talked about purpose. You know, praying, it's been my purpose. It's been all about me, and I really need to be looking at what God wants for me. Could be that. Whatever, it'll pop in your head. I'm telling you, I've experienced it. You go to God, you wait, and something just comes to your mind. Listen, Satan is not wanting you to get better. You know, he's not going to give you a suggestion that'll make you better. You know it's from God. It's just that simple. When that thought comes into your mind that's going to make you a better Christian, a better person, closer to God, you know that didn't come from Satan. So listen to it. And then you get to make a choice. I'm either going to act upon what I've heard or seen, or I'm not. And that's the choice every one of us makes all the time when we're faced with truth. How's your prayer life? Lord pricked your heart about something? Just respond to Him. Let Him work. He does a good work. He does a good work. If we can bow our heads, and Kathy's going to play invitation song. Is there anybody here today that would say, Brother Mike, I have never asked Jesus into my heart. I've never gone before the Father and asked Him to forgive me and save me from my sin. I've never made that prayer. I may have prayed a million other prayers at times, but I've never prayed that prayer. Is there anybody like that? Just slip your hand up. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you and give you an opportunity to make that right. All right. As far as I know, everyone here has a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. I hope that is true. For the rest of us, how many would say, God has pricked my heart about something? I'm not even going to get specific because there's 10 things here, but how many would say, just slip your hand up, God has pricked my heart about something and I realize I need to think about these things. God bless you. God bless you. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Thank you. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before You and we thank You for the privilege of prayer. And Father, I pray for these that raise their hand, Lord, that they recognize You're working in their life. And Lord God, I pray that You would continue that work. I pray, Lord, that You would impress upon them what it is they need to do or what it is that they need not to do, whatever it might be, Lord. But Lord God, I pray that You would reveal Your will to them, and that they would respond and line themselves up with You in whatever area it is that You have moved. And Father, when we do that, we know there's a blessing, there's fruit, and we thank You for it already, for what You are going to do in us if we just humbly submit ourselves to Your will and Your way. Lord, indeed, work on our hearts even now. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, as the piano plays, this is your time. If you need prayer, if you want to come up and talk to me about something, this is your time. Take advantage of it. If you already know what you want to pray about, then take this time and just pray. Pray to the Lord about whatever it is He has moved. This is your opportunity. Take advantage of it. Heavenly Father, Lord God, we come before you thankful and grateful that we are your children, that we are brothers and sisters because of Jesus Christ and his work on the cross for us. Thank you for that. And Lord, thank you for the privilege of prayer, that because of that sacrifice, because of salvation, Lord, we actually have communication with you. We can have relationship with you. And we can talk to you, and you can talk to us. Father, thank you for that privilege. Thank you that we can come to you just like a child can go to their father. Thank you, Lord. We can do that. And we know that unlike our own fathers, you are perfect. And you will deal with us exactly the right way. And we thank you and praise you for that. Father God, I thank you for this week that we've had. I pray, Lord, that there would be fruit from it. I pray, Lord, that those of us that are tired, those of us that some are even said that they've gotten sick or whatever, Lord God, I pray that you'd heal them. I pray, Lord, that you would sustain us as we go forward for you. And Lord, thank you. Just thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.